Hello, St. Georgians near and far, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Passover, Christ our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. On day 19, we read about the Passover itself in Exodus 11, 12, and 13. Now, the Egyptians have already been subjected as a result of Pharaoh's intransigence to all the locust and the darkness and the flies and the livestock and the pestilence and the boils and the thunder and all that kind of stuff. Already done all of that, nine of the plagues, the hail. And God says, all right, so final one, the final plague. You're going to go tell Pharaoh about it, but he's still not going to listen. And so I'm going to send death to the firstborn. From the firstborn of Pharaoh to the firstborn of the slave and all the firstborn of the livestock. But Pharaoh is not going to listen. And so we said about the plagues that came at the end, those last couple of plagues. What you see is a division happening between the Hebrews and the Egyptians. God is afflicting the Egyptians, but not afflicting the Hebrews. Hebrews are up in Goshen. That's their settlement. So this is going to be one that everybody's going to get, unless they have the blood on their doorpost. Unless they have the blood on their doorpost. So just a couple things that I want to mention about that today. One is there in chapter 12. The Lord said, "This month shall mark for you the beginning of months." It is the first month of the year for you. Well, it was not the first month of the year for them before that. But the Lord said, something is going to change significantly tonight so that there can be no question about what nation is the nation that has been elected by God, so that there can be no question at all that God is the God of the universe, right? That God is king of the universe, and that the Egyptian gods are nothing, are nada. So this is going to be a new beginning for you and for the world. And he gives them the instructions about the unleavened bread and the sheep without blemish, the lamb without blemish, who you're supposed to live with for a couple days. And at the end of the couple days, turn him into mutton. So that's what they do. You shall celebrate this feast of the Lord from here on out. And when your kids ask you, why is it that we're celebrating this thing? Then you're supposed to tell them this story. And I would just say, we're telling this story right then. And at midnight, sure enough, the Lord went, okay, and you're supposed to take that blood of the lamb and put it on the top of your door, the top little like crosspost, as well as the sides, the door frame on the left, on the right, and at the top there. And that's how the angel of death is going to know not to kill the firstborn that is inside that house. Now, it appears, and rabbinic commentary implies, that let's say you're a random Egyptian family. You're a random Egyptian family. You've seen these nine plagues. You've seen Pharaoh's intransigence. You've seen the Hebrews be taken care of. And you say, look, I don't believe in the Hebrew God. I don't care about this and that. But I'm going to do what they're doing. And if you put that blood on the lintel and on the doorframe, would you be saved? And rabbinic commentary says, absolutely. Absolutely. Because you're not saved because you're a particularly good person or because you're one culture or one nationality. You're saved because you put your trust in the Lord. You put your trust in the Lord, who maybe you know and maybe you don't know. But nonetheless, you put your trust in the Lord and you'll be saved. So the Egyptians could have been saved as well. There is a symmetry here, because look, this is brutal, right? This is absolutely brutal, and it's grisly and bloody, and it's not fun to talk about, and it's something I always struggle with when I'm trying to tell the story of this. But there is a symmetry here with the murder of the Hebrew boys. right? The Hebrew boys that had been killed, right? When and so the Hebrews cried out to God. There's a symmetry here. The blood of the lamb protects those who are inside. In other words, the blood of the lamb is taken instead of the blood of anybody else. Now, what does this remind us of? It reminds us of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It reminds us of the one whose blood washes us clean. We've been washed by the blood of the Lamb, is what we say. We've been made clean by the blood of Jesus. Who can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Anyway, so that's where we get this, or I should say that's where the New Testament gets this. It is impossible, as I've said before, it is impossible to overstate the importance of these couple days, the Passover and the Exodus, for the entirety of the Jewish and Christian traditions. So that's what they do. There is the death of the firstborn at midnight. The angel of the Lord went and killed the firstborn of the prisoner, the firstborn of the Pharaoh, and all the firstborn of the livestock. And then Pharaoh says, okay, get out of here. Now, here's this one little sort of interesting thing. He summons Moses and Aaron. He's got death all over, you know, his entire kingdom. And he says, get out of here. Go take your flocks and your herd. Like, just go get out of here. And then he says, and bring a blessing on me too. And bring a blessing on me too. So there is a moment here where you see that Pharaoh is recognizing the absolute sovereignty of the God of Israel, right? And that the God of Israel is the one who has the capacity to bless. He is the one who blesses. Now, it also says something about Pharaoh that he changes his mind, right? I mean, we're not there yet, but that he's going to change his mind. But again, you see here one sort of chink in the armor there that he said, and bring a blessing on me too. On their way out, just as had been promised, on the way out, the Hebrews get the gold and the silver and the clothing and all that kind of stuff. They give them, the Egyptians give them to the Hebrews, get them out of there. That stuff is going to be used later when it's time for the tabernacle to be built. One of the ways that we interpret that is say, look, those are back wages for all those years of slavery, right? It's not stealing, it's back wages. They've been kept as slaves for all those years, and they've been not paid for their work and so forth. And so here they are getting their back wages. It said they had lived there 430 years, and on that day, all the companies of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. And then you get a couple more directions for Passover. You get the festival of the unleavened bread commanded, as well as the consecration of the firstborn, which is to say that all of the firstborn of the males have to be consecrated to the Lord. Now, I mention that so they have to be sort of set aside for the Lord, for the Lord's own possession. I mention that because it becomes the ceremony of going into the temple and what they call sort of buying back from the Lord that firstborn. And it's not, because that's something that happens to Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. Jesus and Mary and Joseph go into the temple for the presentation and sort of provide this offering to sort of quote unquote symbolically buy their child back. So that's a resonance from here that you see in the life of the Holy Family. So again, sometimes we say, Jesus came to, set aside all sort of those traditions and everything. Well, there you see at the very beginning sort of the religious observance of the Holy Family. And certainly he never gives a sense that it was the wrong thing to do. Pillars of clouds and pillars of fire, and then they head off. Now, like I said before, this is the it's impossible to overstate the importance of this. I've sort of implied it already when I mentioned Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. When John the Baptist sees Jesus, he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." But there are many, many more. So, for example, how are you supposed to put the blood on the doorpost with your hand? No, with hyssop. With hyssop. And it's, of course, hyssop that is used with Jesus when he is there on the cross. I mean, the residences just go on and on and on. Some of the chronology of the gospel accounts of the Passion differ somewhat, but the Passover itself appears in all of them. And in some of them, it's preparation. But at least in John, Jesus dies on the festival of the Passover itself. So everything, I've said before, you can't understand the significance of what happens during Jesus's passion without also knowing, you know, and like what it means for Israel, what it means for the God of Israel, without also knowing this important moment, and even in its details, of the Passover. And again, grisly, ugly, brutal. Absolutely. You also see they have gotten, and I'm not saying it's not, warning after warning after warning after warning. A and B, it is a symmetry with what had happened to the Hebrews. And C, should the Egyptians have looked at all this and say, "Look, if you don't believe in God, believe in the signs and wonders." That's what Jesus says. "If you don't believe in me, believe in the signs and wonders," and put the blood on their doorpost, they would have been spared as well. So, and those are not things to sort of say it's not bad or anything like that. It absolutely is. It's grisly and awful and terrible. It's also part of the way that God is showing that he is the God, not of death, but of life, not of the dead, but of the living, that with God, there is life. With other things, with other gods, with pagan gods, or with no gods at all, with yourself, right? With yourself as the God, that is the way of death. And that God can do incredible, amazing, life-giving things for his people. And the way that those come about is not by, buying it or, you know, whatever, but is by asking, right? The Lord heard the prayers of those Hebrews that were crying out to him. And again, nothing is said about they were, and God heard them because they were upright people. God heard them because they were sort of moral exemplars. God heard them because he chose them. In Christ's Passover, that blood is shared from just one family to all the families of the earth, right? So all the families of the earth are brought into this one new Israel. And so there are no more Passovers in the sense that there are no more now sacrifices that have to be made. The sacrifice of Jesus is the last sacrifice that needs to be made. So Christians don't celebrate Passover anymore, right? Because the Passover cycle is done. Now what we remember we don't remember the Passover cycle that is solely focused on what happened in Egypt, but rather the Passover that is the death, the crucifixion, you know, the betrayal, arrest, prosecution, conviction, crucifixion of Jesus, who died for the sins of the whole world, and so all human beings have access to God and to the protection of God and to the favor of God through him, because he is the spotless lamb who sacrificed himself for the good of the world. This is a big one. This is a big important story. It's a big important story for everything that follows. Now tomorrow, it's inextricable from tomorrow's reading, which is of course the actual Exodus crossing. But hopefully by when we get to that tomorrow, you'll have been prepared by all the things that we've read already to see how it fits into sort of the larger scope. It doesn't just sort of appear out of nowhere, but rather has this long buildup. So great stuff, great important stuff. I said if you didn't read, if you wanted to do Year of the Bible but hadn't started yet, just to go ahead and start now. Just start with Exodus and come back to Genesis later. And this is part of the reason why. This is the primitive memory of Israel. But I don't mean primitive unsophisticated. I mean primitive, like early. This is the first stuff that is written in the Hebrew scriptures. It goes back the oldest. We talked earlier about some the things that have been written at different times and that kind of thing. This is sort of the germ, right? Like this is sort of the original. This is the original stuff out of which everything else. Out of which everything else comes. This is where Israel is shown to be set aside by God. Israel from all other nations of the earth, not because they're great, but because God is great. Not because of who they are, but because of who He is. And that has all been shared with us. So that is the Passover. Great stuff. Let us pray. O God, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All right, happy reading. Great stuff for tomorrow. Hope you're enjoying this Year of the Bible. See you tomorrow.